listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Did you see the Jesus Revolution?
Yes, that movie was awesome.
What'd you think of that?
That movie was amazing.
I've seen it twice already.
Yeah, the powerful testimonies that have went into it, and with the whole movement, really, it was just awesome.
It's wild, and it came out. They were working on that for 8 years, and it happened to come out right when that whole thing was going down up in Kentucky, where the Holy Spirit, Asbury, is that wild?
That's
But so I we got a lot to talk about. So I interrupted you.
No worries.
But you. Okay. Now, before we find out how you met your wife, let's go back to you. You're in prison.
Yes.
how was it that you didn't get those three lifetimes?
God, you know.
Did that happen later on, or did that happen at that time? Or did you get, you sent away?
I was in the Indian River County Jail right here. Yeah. And I'll tell you, I didn't have, I didn't have a paid lawyer. I didn't have, everybody pretty much had left my side, reasonably so. Because I was just...
You were a despicable character.
I was.
Right?
I didn't care about anything or anyone, And that was the depravity of my heart. And but I thank God that he sees much deeper than man sees and saw something in me, which was the redemption and the hope that is in his son that he provided for us as humanity through his son. And God saw that for me when I didn't see it for myself. And... you know, I was provided a lawyer, and he was a private attorney, James Long, and because I had co-defendants, they were given public defenders, and I was given a lawyer. He's a paid attorney. He was a private attorney. I believe he's resigned now and has family still in law. And I tell you, God knew what he was doing, and we had discussed and talked about the time that I was facing, and one time, and I hope if he hears this, I hope he doesn't get offended by it. But when I was going for my my plea deal or possible arraignment of possibly maybe setting a trial, they always try to come up with a plea a lot of times to keep from going to trial.
Mm-hmm.
But
because it costs the state money and time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so he came to me with a plea deal, and it's very interesting because I was praying to God, even in the doubt and disbelief that I had if God was even real, but I just knew, like, hey, I'm facing the rest of my life in prison.
If there's somebody out there.
Every option. I mean, if I had to rub a genie, a bottle, thinking a genie would jump out, I would have did it. You know, it didn't matter. I just knew I didn't want to spend the rest of my life in prison. And he was, concocting a plea deal with the state. And the day that I went to court in 2002, he told me that he got a plea deal drawn up and or they were discussing it and that it was 6 years. Well, that's exactly what I was asking this unknown God. You know, I didn't know if it was, Buddha, Muhammad, or, Dalai Lama. I didn't know who God was. I just knew enough to know that, that there was a possibility that God could get me out of this trouble. You know, even though I had heard the name of Jesus before, I had even asked Jesus to come into my life when I was young in the Fort Pierce Detention Center.
Well, maybe he did and you didn't know it.
Maybe he
came in very silently.
Very, very possible. Gently. Yes. You know, and I just never surrendered and submitted to his will.
Yeah.
And he, the attorney came to me and he said, look, we got a deal for 6 years.
And you said yes.
And I said, yeah, but then I changed my mind once I went back in the cell.
What'd you do?
So the guys that were in there with me that were also facing time were like, hey, you should just plead out to the judge at the mercy of the judge, and it's a very good possibility you could go home today.
Oh, geez.
I had been in the jail probably at least 8 months, so I'm thinking streets, I'm thinking like nightlife. I'm thinking, hey, let's party, I don't want to be in this jail anymore, so you know what? I may try that. And
listening to those other dopey guys.
Yes, you know, listening to the other inmates that were, you know, also facing.
Yeah, well, their
quite
best thinking got them where there.
Absolutely.
Bad companionship ruins good character. Yeah.
Yes, and I tell you, he came back. The lawyer James Lamone came back, and I said, "I'm not signing the deal." And
he must have gone, "Oh." What did he say?
Oh, he was so frustrated. He looked at me, and he threw his pen and his pad down. And long story short, he said, if you don't sign this plea deal and you go to trial and you lose, I will make sure you get at least 30 years.
Wow. Why would he do that?
The only thing that I can...
He probably was lying, but he was trying to scare you.
Exactly.
Because he knew, you're not getting out of here tonight. You're going to do some time.
Right, right. And
don't
be stupid,
those other idiots that are trying to convince you, you know.
Because I just was telling them, yeah, get the deal drawn up and I'll sign it. But now I'm, you know, swayed by, you know, other people's insight, which, you know, was totally, you know, according to their understanding and not sound wisdom, you know, or discretion, you know, when you're facing charges like that, you know, you really do need to know the law. And most of all, you need God on your side. And, you know, I didn't know God was for me at that time.
What happened?
So he told me, you know, if you don't sign this, you're, you know, I'll make sure you get at least 30 years.
So you signed it.
So I said, I don't care. I said, run it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I told him flat out. I said, I don't care.
You're a stupid rebel.
I said, I'm not signing the plea deal. And the bailiff came and he put me back in the holding cell. And thank God that he is the God of many chances.
Okay, what happened?
Because, you know, 5-10 minutes later, you know, they came back to the cell and I still wasn't. The bailiff and the lawyer, from what I can recall. And I still wasn't ready to budge. And I just sat on the bench in there, and all of a sudden I heard a still, small voice, clear as day.
You mean like an audio voice?
Yeah,
a voice. You heard a voice.
I heard a voice.
I had that too, but I'm reticent to tell most people because I think you're nuts. What did the voice say?
He said, remember what you prayed for.
You heard that voice?
Yes.
It was a man's voice?
It was.
You think it was Jesus?
I believe it was Jesus in the form of the Holy Spirit.
And it was audio.
And the person of the
Holy Spirit.
Just like
you're hearing
Spirit.
Me now, you heard this voice.
Yeah, absolutely.
And exactly what did he say?
He said, remember what you prayed for.
Remember what you prayed
and
for.
And I prayed and asked God if you can get me 6 years.
Yeah, yeah. So it's all he said, remember what you prayed
for. Remember what you prayed for.
Whoa. Man, yeah. So... What'd you do when you heard the voice?
So I got up immediately and I knocked on the door and I got the bailiff and asked him to get my lawyer. I honestly didn't even realize completely what I was doing.
Yeah.
It's like God was influencing me, you know? And so he came back in there and I told him, you know, I want to talk to him. And he pulled me out of the cell and I said, I want to sign the plea deal. And he said, okay, I'll go get it ready. And
did you ever tell him that you heard an audible voice?
No, I didn't tell my
lawyer
that.
You need to go find him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Jesus said, woe unto you attorneys. So,
well,
you know,
yeah.
Maybe he might need to be
saved.
The
funny thing is I was at a movie here locally and probably about 5 years ago, and God was really just lining up people from my past and putting them in my path to be able to testify.
Apologize,
make amends.
Yeah.
And... unbeknownst to me, I'm standing there in line at the Majestic movie theater with my wife, and who's standing in front of me? None other than that lawyer.
Did you say anything?
And I said, Mr. Long, I said, I don't know if you remember me or not. My name is Brian Thomas, and you were residing over my case back in 2002. And he says, oh, yes, I remember. And I said, I wanted to tell you, thank you very much for, you know, everything that you did. And while I was in there, I had an encounter with God. You know, I had an encounter with Jesus, and he, you know, came into my life, and that's the reason why I'm here today. And I want you to know that I appreciate everything that you did for me, and God bless you.
What did he say?
And he was very touched by it, you know, and he said, keep it up. You know, and
wow,
yeah, So
gotta,
I thought that
you
was,
need to go back and tell him about the voice, man.
Yeah.
Well, that's like Ernie Hollins. He said, Jesus walked. He said, just like you're standing here, Jesus walked in the cell, said, I'm wiping the slate clean. And here you are being a stubborn fool.
Yes, I was.
And God, in his mercy, intervenes and said, remember what you prayed for.
Yeah, that was all he said. You know, and God has led my life a lot through instruction like that, through a word or a phrase, if you will, or confirmation. The time that I came to know the Lord in 2005, while in prison, really know him, I heard that voice again.
What did he say? You know,
and he said...
What was the circumstance?
The circumstances was I was at Okeechobee Correctional Facility.
Okay, how long you been in there?
I had been in prison probably 3 years.
3 years, and what's the voice say?
And I had a Christian cellmate who I couldn't stand. And I couldn't stand Bible thumpers or holy rollers or what. At least that's what I thought they were.
So you still didn't really believe in Jesus?
No, I didn't believe in Jesus.
Even though you heard an audible voice.
Yes. I didn't think
the fool of fools.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't think that, you know, I really got into other practices and religions, you know, self-help books and programs in prison and other, you know, doctrines. As we know what scripture teaches about doctrines of demons and things that sway people to draw them away from God and his eternal purpose in his son, Jesus Christ. And that's what I was, you know, studying and going over while I was in there a lot, trying to find some sense of relief and comfort for my conscience from the shame and regret and remorse that I started to experience while in there. But I stuffed a lot of stuff. I stuffed a lot of stuff and hardened my heart even more. Through gambling and, you know, other practices.
In prison. Yeah.
And
I hear you can get drugs and everything in there, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's crazy.
It's a world within a world.
Do you think they allow the drugs to come in so they'll just keep the prisoners quelled? Or
I couldn't answer that question. I really don't know. I know somewhat how, you know, inmates bring them in at times. And there's other, you know, there's other ways that people get stuff in there. Wow. You know, it's a society within a society. And, you know, and thank God for my cellmates that I had when I got to Okeechobee and ministering the gospel to me. And
so you hated your roommate.
I
because he was a born again Christian.
Right. And I felt like, I felt like he was living a lie because he was always smiling and happy. And I thought it was just a lie because there was no way you could be that happy in prison. And there's no way you could carry that type of demeanor in prison.
In these circumstances.
And these circumstances.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Red Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.